Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of The True Sports Show on TrueJet, broadcasting from Studio 1A in Urbana, Ohio. My name is Cam Pierce. We got a ton of NBA topics as Justin is out of here. See you later. He doesn't like the NBA. He didn't come back yet. Well, that was a huge waste of time. But anyway, we got a ton of trades to talk about. We got some LeBron James rumors floating around. Where's Paul George going to go? That's a huge one as well. I'll be keeping the ESPN up because I would assume we may get something in. I don't even got time to talk about the NBA draft. I mean, I'm going to talk about it with some of these trades. But we'll just have to watch, wait and see, and then do some recap, if you will, on Friday. So thank you very much for tuning in to the True Sports Show. To start off, I want to apologize a little bit. It's been a little hectic in my life, and I've been getting a lot of the other shows done. If you're a fan of the other shows on True Chat, I thank you for that. I also highly recommend you check them out. If this is the only show you listen to, this is the show that's kind of fallen through the cracks as a lot of the transition has started, just because it's been my fault, truly, most of it. But there is some stuff with transitioning with True Chat and everything and getting, you know, guests on all the time has been a little difficult, so I apologize, but I'm going to be trying to get it back to a Monday, Wednesday, Friday schedule here, just to let you know. So a little bit of housekeeping, so there's that. We've got two big trades to talk about, I'd say, and then we got one that's a little less important in my opinion. I want to start with the one that interests me the most, because I just can't believe that the Hornets would give up this kind of stuff for Dwight Howard. But the Hornets have acquired center Dwight Howard. So this trade sent Marco Bellinelli, Miles Plumlee, and the number 41 pick in the NBA draft to the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for Dwight Howard and the number 31 pick in the draft. Howard also making a lot of money, $47 million over the next two seasons, and the Hornets will be taking on that money. Now, does this do anything for the Hornets? And in my opinion, the answer is no, it does not. And I'm sorry if that's like a very, you know, oh, well, that's a defeatist attitude. Why are you even talking about it then? And really, to make my point, I think you've only got to look a little bit far away, which is not, and you got to look to California, and you got to look to the Golden State Warriors, because no trade is going to matter all that much, but especially this trade, because I really don't think Dwight Howard somehow has become a dinosaur at 31 years old, literally prehistoric when it comes to the type of NBA that we see today. I think we are seeing some of the most efficient basketball that we have ever seen. The numbers tell me that I know we are seeing some of the most efficient basketball league-wide in league history. And we are. We are seeing that happen. There are, you know, and I will give this credit where credit is due. There's a show on ESPN that I don't normally listen to, but was driving today on my way back to Urbana. It was the Dan Le Batard show, and they actually figured out that Larry Bird, in all of his career high in threes ever, 98 threes. They named a bunch of different players, and it was crazy how many of them they named that made more threes this year than Larry Bird ever did in a season his entire career. The most glaring one, in my opinion, Mo Spates this year made more threes than Larry Bird did in any one season in his entire career. It's insane to me how much more you're seeing players be able to do. And Dwight Howard has just not really grown as much as we probably wanted him to. We kind of, he also gets this sort of LeBron effect that, the show I was referencing also talked about. But I want to take it in a different way, because Dwight Howard and LeBron James are very similar sized. I'd say LeBron James is even a little bigger than Dwight Howard is, just because of his muscle mass and his sheer athleticism that he gets. And I think Dwight Howard just never really reached that. Obviously, he never really reached that. But a lot of people expected him to, and this trade doesn't really give me anything, doesn't give me a real look or a real belief that Charlotte will be anything next year. I don't think this is enough. Kemba Walker is a great player, and I think he's someone that they really want to build around. Dwight Howard is going to be, a good piece. I don't think he's going to be a great player. Nicholas Batum, I really liked him in Portland when he was there, but his career is gone to die in Charlotte unless he goes for someone who's competing for a championship, which gets me to my next point. This Charlotte trade is huge. I think Dwight Howard going to his fourth team over the last, 4 or 5 seasons here is big news for him. It's big news for his stature in the league going forward. He's a 5-time first team All NBA player, and that means he's going to the Hall of Fame, at least from what we have seen in the past. Every player with 2 or more is already in the NBA Hall of Fame or is going to go into it. Obviously players like Kobe and LeBron James and all these people who are first team almost every year, those are the ones that have not gotten in yet, obviously. So Dwight Howard had just marvelous seasons in Orlando. I mean, averaging upwards of 23, 25 points and 13 rebounds a season, which is insane, and especially at the size that he is, which a lot of places have him listed at 6'11", but he is shorter than that. He is about as tall as LeBron is, from what a lot of people say. It's kind of the same thing you see with Isaiah Thomas. He's looking at about 5'9", when really he's about 5'8", maybe even a little shorter. You see this all the time. I mean, we did this in high school ball. Even Justin himself had this done to him in high school ball. I'd say Justin is about 6'2", and that'd be generous. They'd have him listed at 6'4", 6'5", tons of crazy 3 inches on him. Like, this stuff happens all the time to make people more attractive or more scary to other teams to start to try and plan for. But especially these guys in, the NBA that we've seen forever, you're not going to see people not understand who Dwight Howard is. And I think what Dwight Howard is someone who is not going to bring this new style of basketball, this style that you need to win now in basketball, to your team. It's not going to happen. The Warriors and even the Cavs, when they get hot, are too efficient. You can't beat them. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to let you know. But Charlotte is building a good enough roster that they're obviously a playoff team, in my opinion, with Nicholas Batum, Dwight Howard. I'd love to see what Frank Kaminsky does. I loved following his 4-year career at Wisconsin. I hope he comes out and plays really well. Kid Gilchrist, also a good player there for them. So we'll just have to wait and see with them. I don't see enough pieces there for it to make a huge shakeup in the East, but nobody really did. It's just a talking point for a lot of people to say, hey, Dwight Howard, back on the map. Whoa, here we go. Man, wasn't that a fun time when he played in Atlanta last year? I remember how much hype that got and how Atlanta was just going to be this powerhouse in the East again, and all their second or third seed, and they just went nowhere this year. So that'll be fun, and that's why they ended up trading Kyle Korver to the Cavs, who ended up missing a big shot in the finals in order to curb LeBron's repeat hopes. Now to the second trade I wanted to talk about, and this one you've probably heard of. Nets to acquire D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov and Brooke Lopez, who also had more threes in this last season than good old Larry Bird ever had in one single season in his career, and also the 27th pick to the Lakers. So the Nets here are going for I wouldn't call it a risky move, because I don't think Brook Lopez nor this 27th pick is going to cost them a lot. In the long run, they're obviously going to have to, you know, take this Timofey Mozgov contract on, which was one of the Lakers' biggest things. Get rid of Timofey Mozgov or Luol Deng, or preferably both, without giving up too many assets. D'Angelo Russell, in my opinion, it was an asset that you should have kept, in my opinion, because the reason they traded him was also possibly the reason that some Laker fans and some people in the Laker organization don't want Lonzo Ball, and that's because of the drama that he brings with him. And Lonzo Ball looks like a very mature guy. He looks like, from on the outside, and I've never met the guy, you know, I host a podcast in Ohio. I can't say that I've met Lonzo Ball. I'm terribly sorry I don't have the inside information. But from the outside, in his outward-facing persona, it looks like he is very, very mature. He knows that this was his destiny for a while. LaVar Ball got him to this point. And D'Angelo Russell was a guy who played 1 year at Ohio State, who has been awful for a while, which is why we've fired Thad Matta and why we've done the things we have with the Ohio State program, which I talked about, I think, a couple shows ago. And then he came out and betrayed Swaggy P and told Iggy Azalea, or showed Iggy Azalea, or told her to check some security footage that he was cheating on her, and blah, blah, blah. Now, you broke the bro code, whatever, whatever. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think you ought to check his stats when he's on the court, which have been very good, especially for just a second-year player. Some of the things he was doing were matching or exceeding some Magic Johnson-type numbers, and they just let him go. I think they let him go for very little. I think, obviously, the Nets wanted to acquire something as opposed to nothing for the offlay of Timofey Mozgov. And they must value D'Angelo Russell, because that's pretty much the only thing that they're going to get here. And they had to give away a 27th overall pick. Plus Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez. He's okay, I guess. It's nothing anything too huge. I think D'Angelo Russell's obviously the big name in this trade, but I would say the Nets totally won this trade. I mean, D'Angelo Russell was a top three pick in 2 years ago, a draft now, and they get him for pretty much a 27th pick, and, you know, Brook Lopez and Timofey Mozgov, is there really that much of a crossover there? I'd say Brook Lopez is better than Timofey Mozgov for sure, but neither of those players are going to help you win a championship ever in the rest of their careers. It's not going to happen. Timofey Mozgov had his chance in Cleveland, and then they never played him, and they sat him on the bench the whole time, which should tell you a lot about Timofey Mozgov in the crunch time or in a seven-game series, or how much the Cavs value him, obviously. So I think the Nets obviously win that trade. D'Angelo Russell will do better in the East. There's a ton of great point guards in the West. I mean, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, you name it, they're there. So this should give him some more time to adapt, to grow as a player, I hope. But the Nets are a dumpster fire of an organization, so he could just fall into nothingness, and he and Jeremy Lin can just have dance parties in Brooklyn however long they want to do that. So there is also that very real possibility. The only other actual trade that has happened that I'm going to talk about is obviously the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers swapping their top picks. So Boston gave the 76ers their number one pick, and Boston gets the number three pick. The 76ers obviously want Markelle Fultz. Well, I won't say obviously, but it seems like that is the way the 76ers will go. But they could shock the whole world and go with Lonzo Ball and just give a big old middle finger to LeVar, Lonzo himself, and the Lakers, which I'm sure would make everyone so terribly upset at them, because that is the only storyline that we're looking forward to in the draft, at least the big one, is Lonzo's going to go to the Lakers. Oh, he's going to be the next Magic Johnson. Here we go. Here's the rebuild. Let's get it rolling, and then we're going to have, you know, Philadelphia spoil it all. It'd be such Philly fashion if they were to do that. I think it'd be very funny. I would enjoy it very much. They are also sending their 2018 first round pick from the Los Angeles Lakers. So it is not their pick that they're sending over. It's a pick they actually acquired from Phoenix at the 2015 trade deadline. So it's that pick's been around the block a couple of times, but obviously the Celtics are now hoping for the Lakers' demise. So hey, maybe they're hoping that Lonzo Ball gets taken by the 76ers, so the Lakers' entire plan is thrown into flux. Maybe. Who knows? Heck, the Lakers may also throw in some sort of deal for that number two pick for Paul George. So we'll have to wait and see. I think this is a fine deal for the Celtics. Jason Tatum is the player they wanted. They got to move down. They still get to take him, and they got some assets for it. Anyway, that's what you go for. A lot of people are complaining about this move because people don't like Isaiah Thomas for some reason. A little sizist, in my opinion, to go after that guy. I think he's the lifeblood of this team. You just need another scorer. You need a small forward like Jace, and he won't be that his first year. I mean, you don't see that happen with hardly any rookies. But you need obviously him in a backup role, and then somebody else. I would suggest, or would have suggested, Paul George. But it seems like now Paul George has said, "Nope, I'm going to the Lakers. Screw all you guys. That's the only place I want to go." So let's move on to that, shall we? A lot of big stories going on with the Lakers. Number one, Paul George wants to go to the Lakers. And it seems like the Pacers are trying to look out for a deal to trade him, including either Nance Jr. or Julius Randle from the Lakers and their 27th and 28th overall pick. One of those which they acquired from Brooklyn. Number two, Paul George could be going to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cleveland wants him very much. It sounds like Kevin Love, much to my chagrin, is on the trading block, which I just don't understand it at all from either of these organizations. So I'll just give you those two. And then there's the third story, which I'll tack on at the end, but it could have one of the biggest impacts to LeBron's career, LeBron's final image, the who's the best ever to play the game conversation. And it's a huge rumor. And, I think a lot of these sports talk sites, somebody threw this rumor out just so that they could then also talk about it on their shows. So I'll throw it in at the end. I think it's all poppycock. There is one huge glaring piece of evidence that I didn't get to talk about last week about it. It's pretty much LeBron going to the Lakers in 2018 or going somewhere in 2018 that is not the Cleveland Cavaliers, because he has a no-trade clause this year and is locked in for this year. So let's go to the first one. Paul George wants to go to the Lakers. This is idiotic that the Lakers would trade any sort of anything for Paul George. Why? Why do that? That's stupid. Not this year. He's going to be a free agent. He wants to come to the Lakers anyway. Paul George has nothing. He has no leverage. People are talking like that Paul George has made some sort of big, wild, accusation that has given him all this power. I don't see it. I really don't see it. Why would the Pacers, besides for, this is obviously benefits the Pacers. Don't get me wrong. The Pacers should trade him immediately to anyone that will give them anything. Trade the Cavs for Double T and throw down on a young guy like that who could make your team substantially better. I'd be fine with that. Obviously, Kevin Love is the prize you look for from Cleveland, but I'd be cool with Double T too. Dude's going to leave. Pacers should sell him for any price. It's a flash sale. It's a bargain deal. Get Paul George out of there. He doesn't want to be there anyway. And you didn't give him a star in 7 years. So the Indiana Pacers fan base ought to be more mad at Larry Bird. Those 98 threes, remember, tied that back around. Than anyone else. Obviously, he wasn't there all 7 years. But, the GM that we have had the soonest. Be mad at that front office, baby. I mean, they didn't give him anything. Why would he want to stick around? Now, Paul George wants to go to the Lakers, and that doesn't make a freaking lick of sense to me, but whatever. If I was Paul George, I mean, throw this out there. This is Paul George's best case scenario here. He throws it out there. I want to play for the Lakers. The Lakers are not a team that's going to get you crucified. by the media, like LeBron James going to Miami, or even more so, in my opinion, as I have observed, Kevin Durant going to Golden State. It's not going to happen. They don't have a ton of huge stars. Brandon Ingram could become that star. Julius Randle could become a nice piece. Nance Jr. could become a nice piece. And obviously, you've got Lonzo Ball, which everyone is projecting to go to the Lakers in the draft tomorrow night. So you have a young core plus Paul George. You won't get crucified. Say you want to go there. Then, and this is also the nicest thing you can do for the Pacers organization as well, because then you tell your Pacers organization, hey, I'm not coming back to play for you, so get some value out of me while you still have a chance. And if Pacers fans want to be mad at Paul George, I don't get it. I mean, I'd rather tell them this than, you know, pull the Kevin Durant route, which is just like, hey, I'm not going to text Russell Westbrook. Hey, you guys can come and court me. But really, the only teams I'm going to is Golden State, pretty much, because I want to win a championship, and we're going to stack the field, which they did, and they won a championship. For what it's worth, I've been looking at the championship games, all five of them, a little more closely. I really think that series, it didn't look close, but I thought we really got some great basketball. And it was a little closer than people give the Cavs credit for. A lot of people want to blow everything up, and they're blowing it out of proportion. And I think that's – you're going to sense a theme here, because I've kind of been building it the whole show. But I think the NBA is on freakout mode, everybody. Like, everybody is freaking out. Like, we got to make this trade, and we got to make this move, and Dwight Howard's got to go to Charlotte. We got to keep selling tickets. You know, the only team that should be in freakout mode right now, the only team – well, there's two. There are two teams in the NBA. One of them almost has nothing to do with the NBA, and that's the Clippers, because they're about to have 1.5 million things to do, and if the Clippers fall into nothingness, they will become irrelevant, and it will be very hard to get free agents, A, and, you know, people to come watch their games and make money for the franchise, B, with, you know, two football teams, two soccer teams, a hockey team, the Lakers. You know, I mean, the list goes on and on with things to do in LA, so you can't let yourself fall behind. Anyway, and the Cavs. The Cavs should be freaking out, because if any of these, you know, LeBron rumors are true, firing GM David Griffin, which is just idiotic. Holy smokes, is that dumb. That was the story I didn't get to talk about the other day when it broke. This is so stupid. Why fire him? Why, Dan Gilbert, will you go against LeBron? Don't do it, because he will leave. He will leave, and now people, because of your actions, are going to give it a little more solace, because they will say, Dan Gilbert got the biggest, the most huge chance to be redeemed as the Cavs owner. He made himself look like an idiot, said they were going to get a championship before the Heat ever did. That's stupid. That's moronic. That's a guy who's mad. That's a guy who's childish. Not to get political on you here, but it sounds like a Trump tweet, man, where it's like, these people made me mad and I'm upset. Great. Awesome. Then now he wants to come back after his family told him not to. They still hated Dan Gilbert. Dan Gilbert is not worthy to run this organization, but he still wants to come back. He still wants to give something back to the land. He completes his promise. He never said, I'm staying here forever. He says, I'm giving you a championship, which LeBron already has done, and now you're going to piss him off again. What are you doing? What are you doing? Just hire David Griffin back. David Griffin has done everything that you have wanted him to do, and he has taken a ton of flack and a ton of professional I would call it insults, because everyone thinks LeBron's a GM anyway, and nobody heard of David Griffin besides for when LeBron mentions him, because he's not valued in the Cavs organization, which obviously is the case because they went ahead and canned him. So, and this is what LeBron wanted. I mean, in April he said, "Yep, I would be shocked if David Griffin did not come back." He's done everything for this organization. Got his Kevin Love, made a bunch of trades, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith, and Amon Shumpert trade. I mean, a lot of these trades have created the Cavs roster that you see today and the success that LeBron is now feeling in Cleveland. But apparently, it was all short-term success, and. Now we're just, we are just seeing what could be the downfall of the Cavs again, solely on the shoulders of Dan Gilbert. So, but back to my original point, the Pacers in a good spot. I would have rather Paul George told them this now than say in the summer, not coming back. There's no way. I'm going to court a couple of people. One of them's not you. Have a wonderful life. Smell you later. Trade him. Trade him. And Paul George is being nice to Indiana by saying that, hey, this isn't the place where I want to play. This isn't a premier market. I've always wanted to play for the Lakers. I loved Kobe. Like, there's a ton of reasons, and who cares? He owes Indiana nothing. I don't think players owe these franchises anything. I really don't, unless they've really taken care of them. And I don't even want to make the D-Wade comparison that a lot of people have made, because everyone's piled on D-Wade now and said, well, if Paul George doesn't owe anything to the Indiana Pacers, then obviously Dwayne Wade owed something to Miami. And I really don't. I will never be someone who's just like, well, you owe it. You owe loyalty, especially when you've got corporate America always trying to get these people down, these owners always trying to squeeze them for every penny. No, you don't owe them anything. Go get your best deal. Go get what you want. That's just my opinion. I think the Lakers trying to trade for Paul George now is idiotic. It's dumb. Why? Let Paul George have another awful, terrible season in Indiana. Great. Excellent. Or let Paul George taste victory, taste a championship in Cleveland. And those are pretty much your two options there for Paul George. Let him do it. Who cares? Because you know what you're not going to do next year, Lakers? Win the championship. It's not going to happen. Wait for the league to start getting restless with the Golden State Warriors. Wait for one of them to not get the max that they want and leave. Wait for the league to get a little weaker. Wait for Paul George to have another awful season in Indiana. And so he'll say, yes, I've always wanted to play for the Lakers and I'm willing to take a little less than the max. He probably won't say that, but maybe he will. Maybe he had such an awful season in Indiana. The only thing I see happening is, oh my God, all these young players are not as good as the Lakers are trying to tell me they are. This is not fun. This is exactly what I did in Indiana. Now I'm going to the Cavs and I'm signing a 4-year deal. Ah, that would be the worst thing to happen. Let him be done with this contract, then sign him for another year. And I hate, it's kind of like I'm telling the Lakers, let the dude suffer so he's more happy to be in with your organization and Magic Johnson and people trying to improve, rather than Indiana, who looks like a sinking ship right now, and the best free agent that they were ever able to get him was Lance Stephenson and possibly Roy Hibbert, who was terrible besides for one half season. It doesn't make sense to waste assets on this. The sinking ship, he doesn't want to be there anyway. I guess I can only see one thing, and it's, well, Paul George is going to feel undervalued if you don't trade for him this year. No, that's stupid. That's dumb. You tell Paul George when he gets there, hey, we're not wasting assets on you, buddy. We wanted to make sure this team was prime for when you get here, we are going to make a championship run. There it is. There is everything and anything you have to tell the man to make it make sense. I think wasting assets on him is dumb, and I think it's very short-sighted. I don't think Magic Johnson needs to make this big of a splash, and the only thing Magic Johnson has to say, hi, I think this is a good idea. Yeah, hi, I'm Magic Johnson, you know, the guy, literally one of the faces of Los Angeles, the second biggest metropolitan area in the United States. Yeah, hi, you all love me. I think this is smart. All right, great. Thanks, Magic. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Everybody thinks it's smart. Don't waste the assets on the guy. You're not going to. And this is me coming from a non-fan perspective as a Miami Heat fan, I guess. I'm not really a fan of the Lakers. I've never, like, you know, for the league's success, I've always wanted Boston and, you know, the Lakers and other big name franchises to be ready to go. The Knicks. Oh, boy. I forgot I have some Knicks stuff to talk about, so I'll wrap this up. I think it's foolish to waste assets on him this year. You're not winning the championship. Golden State's going to win it again this year. And they're at least going to win the West. So let Paul George go to the East. Let him sow the seeds of doubt within the Golden State Warriors from the Cavs organization. And then the West is prime for the taking because the leaders, the defending champions have been struck down again. They ended up winning 74 games this season. Like, I can just see it happening in my head. The perfect NBA storyline. Paul George goes to the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers get rid of Tristan Thompson because the Pacers only wanted just a little bit of something. Then everybody's playing small ball, and it's just beautiful, glorious threes raining down, and the Cavs win in seven. And I can just see it. I can see it like a mural on the wall, man. And it just... it would disappoint me greatly if the Lakers, A, waste resources on this, B, they make Paul George mad, and then he ends up with Dallas or some stupid team, or, you know, C, it's great. Actually, C is the good option. That's what I see. Those are the three options you have here. And I think it's so much easier just to wait. Magic, you're going to be there for a long time, dude. It's your first year. You don't have to make this big of a trade. The D'Angelo Russell trade, some people... praise, you got rid of Timofey Mozgov, that was your big goal, you got it done, great. You got your big check mark, you're there for the first year, you've never done this before. Wait a minute. Be patient, you're not winning next year. Let Paul go to the Cavaliers, let him and LeBron sow the seeds of doubt. LeBron then stays in Cleveland. Oh, it'll be glorious, a glorious day indeed. Especially if Paul George wants to play at, that's the one crux of my... it's the one Achilles heel, if you will, of my plan. If Paul George likes Cleveland and likes the taste of winning more than he wants to play for the Lakers, then he got screwed, and I'm terribly sorry about that. But that's the mural I want to paint, so hopefully that's not the case, and everything that we've heard is Paul George wants to play for the Lakers before he's done with his prime and before he is old and crusty and can't play very well anymore. So hopefully... For your sake, that is the case. Don't waste resources on him. That'd be dumb. Also, the Knicks wanted to trade Kristaps Porzingis, and I'll make this quick. That's stupid. That's really dumb. I think Phil Jackson wants to get fired. Wow, this is really dumb. Do not trade him for Devin Booker. No, that's not true. Kristaps Porzingis is, like, your guy. You want to build a franchise around him. You want to do it. I promise you, you do, because you can make him your stretch five. You can be that team that can play small ball with a seven-footer and Kristaps Porzingis as your five, and you're still playing small ball. He can still guard people out there, especially as he continues to improve and continues to get more athletic and comes into his prime. This is stupid. Devin Booker may have, you know, scored all those points that one game. He's not worth it to a trade to the Suns. That's dumb. That's stupid. Hopefully this is just a red flag that was sent up by the Knicks or some other team to freak everybody out, but man, I'm telling you what, the NBA is in freak out mode. And this, you know, the NBA is trying to become an 11-month sport, so maybe it's just everybody at the NBA front office just, hey, Kristaps Porzingis thing, let's throw it out there. Stephen A. Smith will freak out. All the Knicks fans will freak out. They'll hate Phil Jackson even more. And then the Knicks are scrambling like, we don't know where this came from. Well, you guys have the worst owner in the world, and your GM sucks, and Phil Jackson, you know, is throwing his entire legacy into the mud, and boy, it's going to be a fun time. So they're continuing to be the laughing stock of the league. Trading Kristaps Porzingis is an awful idea. This draft is not good enough, and Devin Booker is not good enough to go against Kristaps Porzingis like that. It's dumb. It's stupid. Don't do it. Whew. One more thing. Actually, I'll save this for Friday. I'm hoping to have the boys on Friday. I'm going to see what times they're available. I'm actually running out of time. I'm terribly sorry. The rumor is that LeBron is going to be going after the 2018 season to the Lakers. I'd love to have Mike Vann on that show. Mike Vann, if you listen to my shows, this is me asking you. But I will probably try to coordinate that on Thursday. But I'll save that for Friday because we'll just have to wait and see how all the trades go before the draft. There is some talk still about some people moving around. There's some talk that Paul George will be traded on draft night. So we'll have to see. These are my thoughts of all the trades so far. NBA's trying to make itself an 11-month sport, but it's hitting the crazy button a little too much. A lot of these teams are, and I'm just not getting it. I really am not. But hey, everybody, thanks for tuning in to the True Sports Show. Once again, if you're still with me after a bit of a hiatus, thank you very much for your support and your continued to sticking with me. I'm a human just like you, and I sometimes have to take a little sanity break. Sometimes as well. That may have had something to do with it as well. If you haven't already, make sure you download True Chat's mobile app. You can connect with us right in the app or visit our website, truechat.org, to see some of the latest and greatest content from sports and politics to entertainment, business, economy, and so much more. For the True Sports Show on True Chat, broadcasting from Studio 1A in Urbana, Ohio, my name's Cam Pierce. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Be the change.